We are continuing in our series, and I told the group last night, I don't know how long we've been in it, and I don't know how much longer we're in it, but we're in a lengthy series called Resurrection Power, up through the day of Pentecost, really. And what we're looking at is how the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, makes a difference in our lives, even here and now. And this morning, I don't know if you noticed, but we are picking up in our gospel text right where we left off last week. Jesus is still in the process of having a conversation with his disciples in which he is preparing them for life after death. Well, life after his death and his resurrection. And he is working them through that. But before we dive into the passage, I want to ask you this, to think about this. What is the greatest asset that we have here at St. Peter's? What is the greatest asset that we have here at St. Peter's? From the outside looking in, I can tell you right off the bat, because people have told me this, and I myself sensed it 2 years ago when we first visited St. Peter's, we have amazing facilities. You're sitting in one of those buildings right now. I mean, people literally come from all over the United States to tour the architecture, and this is one of those spots where people come just to see the building that we get to worship in every week. We have an amazing school campus that extends all the way down to the den. It's incredible, right? You might say that some of our greatest assets here at St. Peter's would be things like our school. We have over 400 students in our school. We have an amazing staff that is incredibly gifted and blessed at what they do. We have, if you ask my 16-year-old, he would tell you the greatest asset that we have at here at St. Peter's is Venture Youth. Our youth group is incredible, absolutely incredible in what they do for our youth. Some might say it's our kids ministry or our LifeWorks Counseling Center or incredible worship ministry. I think the list could go on and on of all the great assets that God has given to us, but what is the greatest? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in your mind right now, what is the absolute greatest asset that we have at St. Peter's? Get that in your mind. You got it? You ready? Is it the Holy Spirit? All right, I saw like two people nod yes, and the rest are like, nope, I didn't get that one. That was a trick question, right? Isn't it funny how quickly we can go to answer that question with earthly assets? But the reality is, our greatest asset right here at St. Peter's is the Holy Spirit. You see, it's so easy just to reach for those earthly things and grab hold of them. And maybe you thought like Jesus, and I would say, yeah, well, that's very, very true in many respects. But I think for us, that answer of the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily come very naturally, especially if you're a lifelong Lutheran, right? If you're a lifelong Lutheran, like the way we think about the Holy Spirit and what he does, we're kind of like, yeah, he's there. I mean, I just don't really know what he does or like why he's there. We confess him at the end of the Apostles' Creed, right? We're like, we know God the Father. He created everything. We know God the Son. He like died for us and rose from the dead. And then we get to the Holy Spirit and like, yeah, he's out there. I don't know what he does, but he's there. And it's kind of funny because we just don't really understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's interesting because Jesus spends an immense amount of time talking about the Holy Spirit with his disciples. You know, Francis Chan, who's a Christian author and pastor, wrote a book a number of years ago called Forgotten God. It was all about the Holy Spirit. And in it, he writes this: if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. Now, why does Chan write this? Well, because the Holy Spirit is, hands down, that single greatest asset in our church that makes it possible for us to accomplish our mission. And if that's the truth, then we have to wrestle with whether or not we at St. Peter's are a people who deeply desire to experience the transformative power and presence of the Spirit in our lives. The night before Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus dedicated almost the entire night of teaching to the coming of the Holy Spirit, working to help his disciples know and understand that the power of Christ's resurrection can only be lived out and experienced through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so there they are, and Jesus is talking with them. And like I said earlier, we pick up right where we left last week. And Pastor Adam shared with us, Jesus opened up last week with, "Let your hearts not be troubled." And he's trying to prepare him for this reality that Jesus wasn't going to be with them all the time, that he was leaving. And he's trying to emphasize to them, guys, like, you need to get ready for this because this is going to be a reality. And I can imagine the disciples sitting at that table going, what are we going to do? Like, we weren't very good at this with Jesus, and now he's telling us he's leaving, and we're expected to do this on our own? Like, how are we going to move forward? And so Jesus begins to share with them the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he explains to them what he's going to do. And as he does, it becomes clear that the Holy Spirit changes everything. Not just for the disciples, but for us too. The power and the presence of the Spirit changes everything. And he does so in three ways. And that brings us into our text today. It begins at John 14, verse 15, and Jesus opens up with this statement, "If you love me, keep my commands." Now again, imagine being one of the disciples trying to figure out how in the world are we going to survive without Jesus around, and now Jesus lays it out on the table. Guys, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And you're like, Jesus, we were with you and we stunk at keeping your commandments. How in the world are we going to do it without you? There's no way. And the anxiety is rising in the room as they continue this conversation. But in verse 16, Jesus answers all of that anxiety and worry, and he says this, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." You see, Jesus' answer to their concerns about him leaving is to promise them an advocate. Someone who's going to walk alongside of them and help them navigate life and faith after Jesus is gone. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does, is he walks alongside of us, helping us navigate that life and faith, since we don't have Jesus walking right there with us. And how does he do that? Well, that title, advocate, is kind of interesting, because we don't really use that word very often in church when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The reality is, advocate is a legal term, and in essence, you can kind of boil it down to this, a lawyer, but in the best sense of the term. Because a lawyer does what? He walks alongside of you to navigate, or she walks alongside of you to navigate the complexities of the legal system. Right? And it's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. And he does so by speaking truth to us. By speaking truth to us. John 16, 13. So two chapters later, Jesus is still teaching about the Holy Spirit. And he says this, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears." That is, only what he hears from the Father. And guys, we live in a world where we are being screamed at 24/7 with messages from every direction, and every one of those messages is catered to what they think you want to hear. The guys, what is it, Nabisco? The guys who make Oreos, they're not going to show you an advertisement for Oreos and say, "You really don't need these. They're tasty, they're yummy, but they're horrible for you." No, they're like, "Man, you need a double stuffed Oreo," because that's what we want to hear. I want a double stuffed Oreo. Messages are coming at us from every direction, telling us what we want to hear, but not what we need to hear. How many people do you have in your life who are willing to tell you the truth, even when it's hard, even when it stinks, when it's like, "Oh, that hurts"? You see, we need people like that. Otherwise, we become self-absorbed and unaware and even lost in ourselves. One pastor tells a story of visiting an inmate in his prison ministry. And as they got to know each other, it became clear that he was serving a term for 25 years in prison. And this inmate shared with his pastor that, look, I was guilty. I knew I was guilty. The evidence was absolutely overwhelming. They even offered me a plea bargain so I could get out in 5 years. And the pastor asked him, well, why in the world did you not take it if you were so guilty and you knew it and the evidence was overwhelming? He said, because my lawyer gave me bad advice. He told me what I wanted to hear, not what I needed to hear. He told me that if we took this thing to trial, he could beat it. And I would walk scot-free. I would never spend another day in jail or prison. You see, what he needed to hear was, you are guilty can come. And you need to take that plea bargain and do 5 years. The Holy Spirit speaks truth to us. He convicts us of the guilt of our sin. He tells us what, not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. That the sin in our lives is destroying our relationships. That the sin that we have brought in and the sins that we commit break down everything that God has designed for us to be good. And that we are as guilty comes. And the punishment for that sin is death and condemnation. And he shares that truth, he tells that truth in such a way that there is no way for us to escape it except to simply deny it altogether and pretend like it's not true. The Spirit speaks what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And he speaks truth to us, not just the truth of our guilt, but he also speaks the truth of the gospel, the sweet words of the gospel. Because as guilty as we are, the reality, the truth is that Jesus Christ took our place on the cross so that we could walk away free, not having to spend an eternity in hell or condemnation or to live apart from God ever again. Jesus set us free. He took our sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness and his freedom. And that is the truth. That we are guilty as guilty comes, but we are set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, you see, changes everything in our lives because he speaks that truth to us. He speaks what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. The second way that the power and the presence of the Spirit changes everything is that he gives us life. If we look at verse 17, Jesus continues. He says, the world cannot accept him, the Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know, I said at the beginning that we, especially as Lutherans, don't really know what to do with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think of him as this like cosmic presence out there. And Jesus is like, no, guys, that's not it at all. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. A person to be known, to be experienced, and even enjoyed in relationship. And guys, there is no deeper relationship than having someone live literally inside of you. It's interesting because as the disciples are getting ready for Jesus' death and resurrection and to have him leave them, at the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says that the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and he dwelt among us. And now at the end, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to dwell among you. I am sending the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, you will never be alone. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And what's amazing is that when that Spirit dwells in us, life comes with him. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the life that you live is not your own. In fact, Paul writes these very words in Galatians 2:20 when he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then it is not you that lives, but Christ, the resurrected one, who lives in you. And it changes everything. Think about it like this. We're in Indiana, so basketball is a big deal, right? Imagine us, the church, as a pickup basketball team, right? So basically, whoever walks onto the court that day gets to play. There are some of you guys, man, you guys can hit the three-pointers all day long. Some of you can box out and rebound like nobody else. And then the rest of us are like me. I can't play basketball. The last time I played basketball was in fourth grade. My parents literally paid me. Not every time I made a basket, if I just shot the ball. That's how bad at basketball I am. And you see me with a bunch of my buddies walk onto the court, and you're like, oh no, right? Bunch of lousy, worthless players on this team. And then you look at the other team, it's like Team World, and they're like all like 6'9". And they can do everything. They're like professional athletes. And we are so in trouble now. And you know what? Every single game, the church wins. You know why? Dude, because we got Jesus on our team, right? Duh. But here's what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine those lousy, worthless, no good players being filled with God's Spirit. Living not their own life, but his life. And slowly becoming more and more like Jesus. They begin to act and think and play like Jesus. Until you have a team that is fully empowered by the Spirit. That looks and plays and acts like Jesus. Can you imagine what God could do with a team like that? That's what it means to live a new life in the Spirit. It is not you that lives, but it is the resurrected Christ that lives in you. And that changes everything for us. I think the third and final way that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit changes everything is he changes our heart. In verse 21, he says this, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. You see, if you're someone who walks in this truth of the Spirit, if you're someone who lives the newness of life through the Spirit, you will be someone who loves Jesus and fulfills his commandments. I think it's important not to mistake the role and purpose of the Holy Spirit. It is not to make you obey all the rules and regulations and commandments of God. That's not it at all. That's what Jesus did for you. The ultimate end of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is to cause our hearts to love Jesus deeply and passionately, and to follow him with everything that we have. As the Spirit dwells in us, it changes our hearts, and it makes us worshipers who glorify Christ. In John 16:14, Jesus again says, he, the Spirit, will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And he makes known to you today a heart that seeks and longs to worship Christ and to glorify him. The Holy Spirit changes everything. As he brings truth into our lives, as he brings a new life into us, and as he continues to transform and shape our hearts to be more and more like Christ. And guys, I think it's incredibly important that we, as a people of God in this place, are attuned to the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are aware and ready to embrace his transformative power in our lives, especially as we look at that vision of growing younger and deeper in Christ. If we want to connect the next generation to Christ, here's a reality. Every time a young person steps into a Christian church, they do the sniff test. Do you know what this is? They walk in, they go, and they smell it. Because they can smell whether or not you're authentic and genuine and real in your faith. And they will know it the moment they walk in our doors if it's real. And the only way for it to be real and authentic is for the Holy Spirit to live in us and transform us from the outside, from the inside out. That's the truth. The Holy Spirit changes everything. And so my final question for you today as we wrap up is, how is the Holy Spirit working in your life right now? Is he speaking truth to you, saying some things that, well, maybe you didn't want to hear, but you need to hear? Or maybe he's speaking truth to you and reminding you of the sweet words of the gospel, that you are free in Christ. You know, as a parent, especially as a mom, there's so much pressure to be the perfect parent, isn't there? And if you've parented for any length of time, you realize children very quickly bring out the imperfect in you. And maybe today, as a mom, you just need to hear that you're forgiven, that God is still continuing to work in and through you for your kids and family's sake. Is the Holy Spirit bringing life to you right now? Is he getting you set for something new, to turn a corner and begin to live that new life? Is he working to transform your heart, to become a deeper, more passionate worshiper who lives out and glorifies Christ in all that they say and do? My guess is that he's probably doing a little bit of all three. As you leave today, the greatest asset of the church goes with you. The greatest asset of the church doesn't just go with you, but he, the Holy Spirit, goes in you. And he will continue to work through you so that in everything that you do, you will bring glory to Christ, who is our resurrected power and our life. Amen.